Public Service Commission meetings are often sleepy affairs, but that's not true right now. On October 14th, at the last PSC meeting, the Commission voted to approve an order previously issued by PSC Chair John Rhodes to show cause directed at the gas utility National Grid. National Grid had abruptly denied service to more than 1,100 customers, claiming that the state was constraining supplies by blocking the installation of massive new pipeline projects, especially the Williams Pipeline. On November 12th, Governor Cuomo raised the stakes still further when he sent a letter to National Grid giving the utility a 14-day notice of the state's intent to revoke National Grid's license to operate its downstate natural gas system. In other words, the current basis of the utility's existence. To start this segment, let's listen to an excerpt from Commissioner Tracy Edwards' statement at the October 14th PSC meeting.
I believe that this was an intentional, chaotic, confusion pipeline approval strategy that impacted their customers who depend on reliability. And that's where I come down on this. I went to their website to see what it is that they were telling customers. And it says, we cannot process applications for new and expanded gas service in Brooklyn, Queens, and Long Island until we receive state and federal approval for the NESE project. You may still submit in the meantime, and we remain cautiously optimistic that the NESE project will proceed on schedule and be in service by the winter of 2020-2021. There was no transparent communication. I do not think that we own this particular issue. I think it lies squarely with their chaotic and intentional confusing strategy. Yes, we absolutely, with all the things that I have seen, we have capacity issues. But what I want to know is how big are they? Where's the line in the sand? Is it this year? Is it next year? Where was the plan B? Because even if approved, we would still have issues today. I read, you know, sometimes you have to watch people when they don't think you're paying attention. So I went back to all of their annual reports. I read all their annual reports, all of them. And this was not mentioned. They identified top-down, bottom-up risk assessments. And when I asked why this was not included in there, what I received back is that while National Grid has included operational risk factors in its annual report to shareholders, we have not specifically addressed the current issue. Okay, so why not? I find that odd. If we have a customer in an apartment where the building provides heat and hot water, this is a real customer. This customer was denied service for residential non-heating for cooking purposes. The apartment had been had pre-existing non-heating customer. There was no new load, but they were denied. When that person called the PSC, they were then put back on. But what about the other people on the floor in that apartment building that do not know to call the PSC? They are not aware of it. What about them? What about the most vulnerable customers that have no idea about all of this? What about them? What about the renovations? You go and you put your hard-earned money to try to improve your home, and you think that you're going to have reliable service and you don't. What about the small business customers that have saved up to open up a business, to be entrepreneurs, and then they can't open up because they can't have any guests? This is beyond whether there's a capacity issue or not. This is absolutely unacceptable.
Now let's listen to Andrew Pizzullo of Food and Water Action, speaking at a press conference on October 14th for Renewable Heat Now, a coalition of groups advocating for immediate transition of New York onto renewable heat.
The science is crystal clear. We can't build any new fossil fuel projects in New York State if we hope to stay below 1.5 degrees warming, the threshold laid out in the Paris Climate Accords. We can't build any more power plants and pipelines, especially ones that transmit and burn methane-emitting fracked gas, if we want to stick to the benchmarks that are laid out in New York's new climate legislation. It's really that simple. And it should be the guiding principle for all of the Public Service Commission's work going forward. Coming out of that meeting today, there are certainly some commissioners, Commissioner Rhodes and others, who seem to be turning to the reality of that scientific fact. There are others who obviously are not. I wonder if it's a time that they maybe step aside and let others take over, because there's a lot of work to be done here in New York and nationally. Now, I applaud Governor Cuomo for rejecting the dangerous, dirty, and unnecessary Williams pipeline, and the Public Service Commission for standing up for New Yorkers as National Grid holds them hostage to what is a shameless, cynical, and fabricated gas shortage. Investor-owned utilities should not and cannot put their financial interests above New Yorkers' heat, and the Public Service Commission should fine, penalize, and even revoke the franchise of National Grid if they continue to fail to meet the needs of customers. Now, we hope Governor Cuomo and the Public Service Commission will do the same in the Hudson Valley, where I live and organize, by denying permits for the Danskammer fracked gas power plant in the frontline environmental justice community of Newburgh, and move quickly to decommission fracked gas power plants like CPV and Cricket Valley. We have fewer and fewer years left to completely decarbonize the New York State economy. We need to build thousands of megawatts of battery storage, thousands and thousands of megawatts of generating capacity of solar, wind, geothermal, and hydro. We need to weatherize, insulate, and put residential solar on thousands of buildings, businesses, homes, and schools. We need to improve and update our dated electrical grid infrastructure system. Those are transmission lines. We need to completely rebuild our public transportation system and integrate electric vehicles into the economy. Energy efficiency, transmission line improvements, renewable heat through heat pumps, large-scale wind and solar with battery storage can power New York State completely now. It is a question of political will. It is not a question of technological capacity. Now more than ever, we need the Public Service Commission to rise to the urgent occasion, hold utility companies accountable, and truly lead New York State into our green energy future. So that means, one, stop promoting and incentivizing dirty fracked gas immediately. Two, facilitate the creation of thousands of green jobs. Green jobs are created 80-1 for fossil fuel jobs at this point in weatherization, energy efficiency, infrastructure improvements, and renewable generation sector by funding the alternatives to fossil fuel heat and electricity, like was done in Westchester after the gas moratorium. Three, fine, penalize, sue, and censure investor-owned utilities and fossil fuel companies for poisoning our communities and poisoning the marketplace of ideas as they continue to cynically market methane-emitting fracked gas as a renewable bridge fuel. It is not a renewable bridge fuel. And four, stop delaying on the energy efficiency proceeding and make NYSERDA continue its current heat pump incentives through 2020. And honestly, five, the Article 10 siting process, which is the permitting process for all large-scale renewable generation, it has tens and tens and tens of solar and wind farms locked up in that process right now. The only thing that seems to make it through that process is fracked gas power plants. That to me means there's something wrong with the process as it is. Public Service Commission, it's in your hands, and we are going to push you to do it whether you like it or not.
How did the governor respond to this situation? Here are several excerpts from his recent letter. Quote, "The moratorium is either a fabricated device or a lack of competence. There is no legitimate need for it in the first place. There are existing short-term options to contract for non-piped gas from other sources, which National Grid either deliberately, negligently, or incompetently did not secure. National Grid should have explored all options before denying service. Gas can be trucked, shipped, or barged, and other infrastructure could be proposed or additional unloading facilities installed. Electric service and demand response measures could be proposed. Heat pumps and renewable sources could be proposed. These options should have been explored and weighed by National Grid and made public for consumers to evaluate before National Grid denied gas service." In a later paragraph, The lack of National Grid's capacity in addressing the supply and demand issue was actually exacerbated by National Grid's own actions. National Grid marketed, quote, oil-to-gas conversions, end quote, which increased the gas demand and the customer base of National Grid in reckless disregard of the company's failure to have any future plan to meet the demand it was creating. And then one last later paragraph. There are only two theories to explain National Grid's actions. Either National Grid was grossly negligent in relying exclusively on the speculative construction of a private pipeline to meet the demands that it was statutorily required to provide, or National Grid deliberately defrauded the people of the state by not developing or pursuing existing supply options to force approval and reliance on a private pipeline to further their business interests at the cost of the consumer. So where are we at now, heading into the next PSC meeting on November 14th, this Thursday? Will the governor and PSC come up with a plan to get the state off of fossil fuels and onto renewable energy? If so, when? And will it be in time to help avert the greatest crisis that humanity has ever faced? Stay tuned as these issues develop. I'm Dave Pablo for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.